great day, Tampa Bay.
That's the BCC Coupon Book, Wednesdays 5 to 6 on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thinking about starting your own business? Then you need to listen to the Entrepreneur Opportunity Hour from 6 to 7 p.m. There's nothing more rewarding than starting your own business. Gene will bring you tips and advice from themselves and other entrepreneurs that will help you get started. Have you already started your own business? Then call in and share your story to help other entrepreneurs. That's the Entrepreneur Opportunity Hour from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
That's the Entrepreneur Opportunity Hour, Wednesdays from 6 to 7, right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for a job? Join me, Gene Hodge, on the Employment Opportunity Hour from 7 to 8 p.m., where I will tell you and share with you, as well as answer all of your questions and help you find enjoyable employment instead of a job. This is the only talk show that talks about everyone who makes up our workforce. Join me on the Employment Opportunity Hour from 7 to 8 p.m. on the Employment Opportunity Hour.
That's the Employment Opportunity Hour, Wednesday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you have questions after being injured in a car accident or injured because of someone's negligence? Do you feel overwhelmed or uncertain about the next steps after being injured in a crash? The personal injury attorneys at Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes have been helping their injured clients since 1955 and are now on this radio station to provide guidance to you. Listen to FLA Law each Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Let their decades of experience help you and your family. Offices in Clearwater, non-attorney spokesman.
Tampa Bay's Tantalk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Καλησπέρα σας. Καλημέρα για τον Ελληνισμό και για την Ορθοδοξία, 15 Αυγούστου. Εμείς είμαστε εδώ στις επάλξεις, στο Tanto Radio, στην εκπομπή Panhellenic News, το μικρόφωνο η Άρια Σοκράτους. Σήμερα είναι μία μέρα μνήμης, γιατί να μην ξεχνάμε ότι στις 14 Αυγούστου του 1996 είχε γίνει κηδεία του Τάσου Ισαάκ στην Κύπρο, ο οποίος είχε ξυλοκοπηθεί μέχρι θανάτου από Τουρκοκύπριους, τρεις μέρες νωρίτερα στην νεκρή ζώνη, κοντά στη Δερίνια, κατά τη διάρκεια αντικατοχικής διαδήλωσης Κυπρίου μοτοσυκλετιστών. Και εκείνη τη μέρα, αμέσως μετά την κηδεία, αρκετοί από τους παριστάμενους συγκρότησαν διαδήλωση και ξαναμπήκαν στην νεκρή ζώνη από το ίδιο σημείο, για να αποτίσουν φόρο τιμή στον Τάσο Ισαάκ. Και ανάμεσα στους διαδηλωτές ήταν και ο ξάδελφός του, ο 26χρονος τότε Σολομός Σολομού, ο οποίος ήταν δεύτερος ξάδελφος του Τάσου Ισαάκ. Ο Σολομού μετά από την κηδεία είχε φύγει από τους συγκεντρωμένους στη διαδήλωση και κατευθύνθηκε σε ένα κοντινό τουρκικό φυλάκιο. Και εκεί με ένα τσιγάρο στο στόμα και αγνοώντας τις προειδοποιήσεις των Τούρκων στρατιωτών, άρχισε να σκαρφαλώνει στον ιστό της σημαίας, με πρόθεση να κατεβάσει την τουρκική σημαία. Και εκείνη την ώρα ακούστηκαν τρεις πυροβολισμοί από την πλευρά των κατεχομένων και ο νεαρός άνδρας έπεσε νεκρός. Είχε δεχτεί τρεις σφαίρες, μία στο στόμα, μία στο λαιμό και μία στο στομάχι, οι οποίες σφαίρες ήταν και θανατηφόρες. Δυστυχώς, από εκείνη τη μέρα μετά, η Τάσου Τσιλέρη, τότε πρωθυπουργός της Τουρκίας, είχε πάλι δημόσιο λόγο και είχε πει με πολύ έντονο ύφος ότι οποιοδήποτε πάει να προσβάλλει το τουρκικό κράτος με οποιοδήποτε τρόπο, θα έχει αυτή την κατάληξη. Δηλαδή, όχι μόνο δεν ζήτησε συγγνώμη, αλλά δικαιολόγησε και την πράξη. Απλώς ήταν μια υπενθύμηση να μην ξεχνάμε, γιατί η ιστορία επαναλαμβάνεται και να μην ξεχνάμε το τι συμβαίνει. Και τώρα να επιστρέψουμε τώρα στην εκπομπή μας. Σήμερα είμαι πολύ χαρούμενη, γιατί είναι μεγάλη τιμή. Έχουμε μαζί μας τον Τζον Σιάμας, ο οποίος είναι υποψήφιος για τη γερουσία στην πολιτεία της Φλόριδα. Τζον, welcome. Welcome, and it's a great honor that we have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I was reading your resume, it's very impressive, I have to say. And actually, you served for 11 years to U.S. Navy. Is that right? And you deployed to 9 countries in Middle East and Africa?
Yes. I was 11 years with a few deployments throughout the Middle East, Africa. Then I also worked as a private contractor in Iraq for a little bit after one of the deployments.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, based on your experience that you had in Middle East, actually, did that experience guided you to put a candidacy for the Senate? I mean, what was your goal?
Well, at that time, it was post 9/11, a lot of people joined. It was something that people were doing, but Aftotomeros, right? There was a little bit of a different impact that it had on me as opposed to other people, because we have such a very long and conflicting history with the region. So it was a little bit different for me in the experience I had and how I processed and understood everything that was going on there with the different cultures, with the religion, with just the people, and how it really made me understood in a contextual framework why everything has happened to us as the Greek people all of these years. That's what it really did for me. It really, it really put things in perspective, because a lot of people really don't, being in that region, that's the religion is the entire, it's the political ideological system. There is no separation. Everything revolves around that. So when you're in that area, you now begin to kind of have an understanding on how they view, let's say, Greeks, for example, and why everything that happened to us, why it happened, how it happened, and again, really why it happened and the mentality that they have towards us. So that was definitely impactful, but I think that that's not the main reason that I, put my hat in to run for the State Senate District 21 here in Pasco and Pinellas counties, but it definitely influenced a lot of the, not only the decisions I make, but the attitude I have and the personality I've developed over the years because of those experiences I had. But it's definitely had a big impact in my life. It's probably the biggest impact, of course. It's not something I often talk about in detail, because it's not something we really do in the community to talk about it in detail, meaning, personal events, specific things that happened in public. We don't really do that outside with the public. But again, it's something we decided to do. We volunteered, met a lot of great people, lost some friends. But it was overall, it was a very interesting experience, impactful experience. And it's not something I would trade for anything in the world. I probably wouldn't want to do some of the stuff I did and go some of the places I did again. But that's not to say that I went there, checked the box, came home, and now I have a story to tell other people, and hopefully others can learn from my experiences. Mm-hmm. And I can tell the stories, and hopefully people will understand and maybe have a different view, perspective, or understanding of what the reality is and what the relationships are, especially with the Greek community, because this is the people that, that there are people, right? And ultimately you want to take care of Greeks and have Greeks understand what's really going on over there,
I wanted to stand here and ask you, based on the experience that you had, you want to tell the story, the impact that your story had in your life. How is that story going to affect the Greek community? I know we discussed earlier about that as well, but I want the audience to hear about it as well.
So really the main impact and the story and the takeaway is that the Greeks have been at war for a long time, over 1,000-1,500 years, consistent warfare going on.
Correct.
Don't think that that's going to change, and don't think that anything has changed today. We're just in a very brief non-war non-active war, period. War has been the common element. Peace has not been the common element. So eventually it's going to come again. And it's not like it's a distant historical issue. In the 70s, you saw what happened in Cyprus. I mean, Cyprus is still...
Yes, it's a different story.
Cyprus. Yeah, that's the takeaway is that please understand that the minute you let down your guard, that's when things are going to get pretty ugly and they're going to change and they're going to come in. And there already are plans and there's a lot of things going on there, and there's nothing to indicate that eventually they not only Turkey wants to invade Greece, but they absolutely will. It's not even a question about it. Anyone who thinks, oh, it's not going to happen, NATO, friends like that, okay, you haven't been paying attention to history too much. You think that's going to happen. So it's more of like sounding the alarm too, because people are getting a little lax. They think, oh, nothing's going to happen, these are just games they're playing on the border, flying the planes in and out, whatever little things they're doing. But that's all just, that's how wars begin, and that's what people have to understand. This all eventually builds up.
How will people understand, how you will make them understand if you get elected? When you get elected?
When I get elected and I have the platform, and I don't know, do you want me to discuss the specific thing I want to introduce and do for the Greek people in general?
Of course. Okay, absolutely.
So the one thing that I want to do for the Greek community that I introduced, which is really not about, it's really not on my platform because it's really just for the Greeks, is I want to introduce a bill and codify the recognition of the Greek genocide. Now, I say that because right now there are no laws in place. There's resolutions, and I think we've discussed what value resolutions have. They have absolutely zero value. There is nothing codified in law in place. By introducing something that now turns into law, we not only officially recognize statutorily, it's required now, but you can also introduce a educational curriculum with specific readings to educate not only local, but then you can start spreading it countrywide, worldwide, and to understand not only the Greek genocide, how it happened, but to make sure everybody understands the connection that the USA has with the Greek people historically, because there's no other group of people that have been so actively involved in the United States as the Greek people. They're almost every war the US has fought, there have not only been Greeks that have fought, but Greeks overseas that have assisted. And it starts with the Barbary Wars in North Africa, where they sent a marine expedition to fight the Moors and the Barbary States because they were kidnapping U.S. sailors, Greek mercenaries en masse volunteered, and they helped with the fight. During the Civil War, it was the Greek merchants that redirected the cotton trade going from the south to Egypt. They reallocated. So instead of buying from the south, they were able to now create the trade routes to receive the cotton and sell the cotton from Egypt, which basically crippled the south and their economy. And then you continue where in the 1912 First Balkan War, 30,000 Greek Americans, they volunteered, they went to Greece, they fought, they paid their own way. They even bought a battleship that they sailed to Greece. They fought in the Thessaly Theater. And during that war, Greece doubled its territory from 25,000 square miles to 50,000 square miles. Mm-hmm. All of those Greek Americans then came home and they fought in World War One.
Yes.
George Dillboy, which is a very popular figure, there's a statue down here. He is one of the more popular, because he's a Medal of Honor recipient. He's a very decorated soldier who fought in the Balkan War, then came back and fought in World War One. I actually deployed with his grandnephew in Africa. And that's how I became aware of his story. And that's an amazing story that can really take an hour to tell, and his descendants and everything that happened. It's just amazing. But he was originally from Smyrna. Mm-hmm. And they went back, they desecrated his bones, the Turks. They went in when they were burning Smyrna, they desecrated his bones with the U.S. flag. And then the U.S. president sent a battleship there, said, if you don't give me back those bones and that flag, we're going to go to war. So there's a big connection with the Greek people and America. And I want to bridge that gap, have everyone understand it, introduce this piece of legislation that will codify really what's, it's the first genocide of the 20th century. Look, let's be very frank here. We don't even know how many millions were systematically raped, pillaged, and murdered. Okay? We don't. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot more than we can even report. And it's definitely in the millions. We need to establish that. We need to create that connection. We need to introduce this legislation to set the foundation because, and I'll emphasize this again, if anyone thinks that it's not going to happen again, what's happening to the Armenians right now? What's happening to the Coptic Christians right now? What's happening to the Yazidi Christians in North Syria right now, where the Turks have been fighting a guerrilla warfare for many years? What's happening to them in the eastern region of Turkey, where the Turks have been fighting a guerrilla warfare for many years, preparing their army? They're blooding their army. They're gaining experience with the army. These are things people have to acknowledge and recognize. They don't have to be there. They don't have to do this fighting. But a battle-tested, experienced army is much more effective than a well-equipped, inexperienced army. So if I was a country and I wanted my army to, let's say, invade another country in 10 years, it would be ideal to start some skirmishes and to have them get some experience in some other theater so they can be prepared and ready when the time comes and they have to go into another area that they want to either invade or begin a war with. Because war is very... You can train all you want, but once you go to war, there's a lot of, it's called Murphy's Law. Everything that you can think of go wrong, goes wrong, okay? And there's a lot of issues to deal with. You have logistic issues, supply issues. How do you transport? Mm-hmm. So these things are not, you can train all you want, but experience is what really gives the actual experience is what establishes the effectiveness. So you, again, you can train all you want, but once you gain that experience, that's really what makes the army effective. So these are all things that people have to start recognizing. You know, the editing is more so than anything, okay? Because it's just beyond me that if your arch nemesis for thousands of years is on your border, why would you ever become lax with that situation? It's just
absolutely.
You look across. You look right across. You could be here. You look across, and they're the people that want to kill you. And, you know, let's be honest, too. There is no, you know, they're viewed as second-class citizens, the Greeks.
And we're talking earlier about politicians that most of them talk and no action, right? Yeah.
And so, I can elaborate on that, too, if you like.
Let's go to your actions.
Yeah.
You have a plan. Yes.
So have to understand is that there are a lot of politicians, and a lot of politicians are governed by special interest groups, PACs, and donations. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes those donations come directly or indirectly from other special interest groups that may be involved in type of business activity that's affiliated with the country that is not necessarily in alignment with the groups of people that support them, i.e. Greece and Turkey. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have no such restrictions on me, so nobody will own me, nobody will control me, nobody's going to ever tell me what to do. So anything I do is because I think it has to be done, I believe in it, and I want to do it. Now, we talk about the influence, so, and the reality of the situation. When I go to church on Sunday, there's an armed guard in front of the church, okay?
Yes.
When my daughter asks me, Daddy, why is a police officer in front of the church? I have to be honest with her and tell her, Catherine, there are people out there that want to kill us because of who we are. Plain and simple.
Yes.
You have to accept that reality. There are people out there that want to kill us just because of who we are. Now, of course, I explained to her that as long as I'm around, nothing's going to happen to you, protecting you. I'm not going to be around forever. So we have to prepare the future generations for the inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And most important things that I want to impress on the Greek people is that you need to start preparing for the inevitable, because it's coming. Don't think it's not coming.
In fact, how we can prepare ourselves practically.
Number one, you have to accept the reality of the situation. If you don't accept the reality of the situation and the severity of the situation and the consequences of the situation, what's the consequences? The reality is an eventual armed conflict. How would that armed conflict play out? What would the consequences be of that armed conflict? Once you accept, acknowledge, and prepare for that reality, that's how you can move forward. But that's the first and absolute necessity, is you have to prepare for violence. And the only way you can prepare for violence is train with violence, so that you can then fight back the violence with violence. That's just how human nature works. We're always going to be at war with each other. Anyone who thinks that we're all of a sudden more advanced and we're going to be holding hands, singing songs with peace, you haven't read any history. So that's first.
So diplomatic way is not working, right?
The what? The diplomatic?
The way? Diplomacy way.
What I like to say is diplomacy is just the intermediary between war. So eventually there is absolutely no diplomacy that ever lasts. Everybody always goes back to war, because you're never, as long as there's two people who have had some sort of conflict, you can have diplomacy, but diplomacy never lasts forever. That's just an absolute fact. Please prove me wrong with any other type of diplomacy that has ever lasted forever. It doesn't happen. Eventually it breaks down, and when you look at history, there were periods of time where we had diplomacy, maybe 100 years, maybe 150 years, but we look at history and we think, oh, that was fast, but that's four generations, five generations.
But history is surrounded by war, by wars, yeah.
It's surrounded by more war than peace, let's put it that way.
And yeah.
That's the standard we go by. We have to prepare for war. And that's what I want to impress on, especially the people over there, because I still have family, and it's a big issue.
So you were talking earlier about the plan for Greece borders, the borders with Turkey, you know?
Yes.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I believe personally, now I'm running for a local office, right? And the most I can do at the local office is at least set up the foundation, introduce a bill, recognize the genocide, have people educated on the genocide. And I can actually go back to that. So there's people really need to be educated on that, understand what happened. They need to understand how the cities were burned at the end, how when the soldiers came in, they were throwing babies in the air and catching them on the bayonets. These are graphic images that need to be shared, understood, and spread so that no one can forget. But moving on to that, what I can do at the local level, I would do that. There would be an educational requirement. People would understand it. They would read it. They would spread it. And there would be a more of a knowledge. But I've been yelling at the top of my lungs for quite some time now that I believe that at an international relation level, Greece should have some type of, or the U.S. and Greece, that there should be some type of treaty that, like Israel has a right of return with all the aid from all over the world. They call it the right of return, right? So there should be something implemented very similar, not to just get a passport or citizenship or something, like an actual right of return where there's a grant of some sort, or there's a opportunity given where if someone from the Greek diaspora decides to go back to Greece, they should designate specific areas in Greece, mainly along the border with Turkey, where they can now invest and maybe establish businesses and have an incentive like a tax-free residency for 10, 15 years or something. Why am I saying that? What would be the outcome? Okay, eventually this is something, and I would do it too. This is something that I believe a lot of very business-oriented Greek diaspora, because we are amazing. There's not many minority groups that go to other countries and become successful within one generation, two generations. We're an amazing people. We're smart. We're hardworking. We're not the stereotypical. And that's another thing I want to break, is that stereotype that they have of us. We're very smart, we're hardworking, and we've influenced the entire world. There is nowhere where you go where you don't have some type of Hellenic influence, whether there's a Hellenic community, a church, something. It's amazing everywhere you go. So the goal would be to have these U.S. citizens, English citizens, Australian citizens that are of Greek descent, go back to these areas, specific areas along the border, because I believe if Turkey decided to do something, I believe they would be very less likely to invade and bring an army through any area that's inhabited by 100,000, 200,000 U.S. citizens. That would be a pretty bad day if they laid any harm to U.S. citizens, because there would be a mandatory retaliatory response from the United States. Just like now in Israel, there's U.S. citizens in there. We've sent our troops to go and pull them out and help. And that's only a couple dozen people, right?
Mm-hmm. Imagine more, 100,000.
Yeah, so I think this is one of the most important international relation agreements that we can make to not only help shore up the defenses, because now when you have these diaspora Greeks, they're resettling there, they're Americans, now we can more easily facilitate military agreements, whether it's a small base, whether it's a sortie agreement operation, whether it's a joint operation, something can now, because now these Greeks will be there, they'll have kids, they'll have their own battalion, their services, they can participate not only in the armed forces but in the community, and we can more easily bridge that cultural gap with the U.S. and Greece, because we'll have spokesmen there. I mean, it would be much easier for me to communicate with the United States bureaucracy than it would someone who was born, raised in Greece, right? So that's the outcome of something like that. You now establish bigger relations, which are much more important.
I wanted to ask you how feasible it is. How easy it is to make it?
One second, James. It's easier than you might think. It's easier than you might think, because
hopefully
across the board, I think the only resistance would be any sort of bureaucracy in Greece, because the incentives are across the board beneficial to everyone. But with that being said, I don't think anyone has ever approached it and viewed it from the lens of, well, if we have 100,000 U.S. citizens along our border, we're probably going to be a lot more safe than if we didn't have those 100,000 U.S. or whatever the number would be along the border of Turkey in designated areas where they can settle, run their businesses, and receive these tax incentives to have people move there. So that would be a very simple, and again, of course, it would be on the, and I'll tell you how it can get even easier. It would have to be on the Greek government to establish the bureaucracy and the policies internally. But that being said, if we had some Greek American politicians that were willing to put the pressure on the Greek government, such as, you want the F-32 jet? Okay, you're going to get it. We need to create this policy. So it's actually a lot easier than you would think. We have to have the influential politicians here to be willing to put that pressure on the Greek government. So it's a lot easier than you might think, because the pressure points can be applied very easily and very specifically. And it would have to do with funding, military equipment, cooperation, and so forth, because now you would increase military cooperation with these areas, with these groups of people. So it's a win-win for everyone. But in order to get that Greek government to see the benefits, you might have to put a little pressure on from here. And that pressure comes in the form of finances.
because we're not used to these practices, you know, so far. We're used to the practice of doing nothing or resolutions or, you know, talks that led nowhere.
Yeah, talks and resolutions, I think we've discussed what the purpose of resolutions are. And yeah. As far as I'm concerned, the resolution is a useless piece of paper that means absolutely nothing. And I think anyone who's been studying international relations knows that the UN can come up with as many resolutions as they want, but there's absolutely nothing that will enforce and nothing that would apply that resolution. Exactly. It's just a piece of paper and it's all talk. So when I hear a lot of politicians say it, I've spoken to some higher level Greek American politicians, and when I tell them what I want to introduce, they say, well, there was this resolution that was done, and I look at them and I say, okay, resolution, huh? There's a lot of resolutions. What's changed? And I think that's what we have to see when we talk. Talk is cheap, okay? Exactly. This is the action that needs to be done.
So, conclude, we have to take action, not words. No more words, just action.
So,
and organized action, as you said.
Without action, words are meaningless. If the words don't lead to action, not only are they meaningless, you won't be respected.
Yeah. At point, I wish we had more time. We could talk for hours. There's so much to discuss on this topic.
I think we have to have these discussions. I think these are important topics. I think that, and I'm speaking English, I do speak Greek, everyone, but this is a very important message that I wanted to make sure I can convey very clearly and appropriately because of the severity.
No, you're very clear.
The importance of the message. Now, we can translate it in Greek at some point, but this is a very important message because I'm sounding the alarm. That's what I'm doing here.
Very clear, very specific, and for sure we're going to have you in the future here. There's a lot more to discuss about it.
There is.
It's an endless conversation. You know, we have to. There's a lot of things we have to discuss about.
Groups like yourself are going to be integral part of this. All I can do is lay the foundation. I'll introduce the law. I'll be the spearhead, the figurehead that starts yelling and pounding the desks and doing everything. But organizations like yourself, you're going to be the bulk work. You will be the masses that are going to help promote and then eventually carry out the bigger plan.
I want to wish you every success, and thank you so much for having you here today and for sharing your knowledge.
Thank you.
It's priceless. Thank you so much. And for sure, we're going to have you in the future as well.
Thank you so much, Aria. Yasas. Ευχαριστώ πάρα πολύ. And we'll do this again whenever you want. You have prime time with me whenever you want to do an interview, anything. This is a very important topic for me. I don't know what time of the day it is. I will stop whatever I'm doing to do this, to speak with everyone.
Ευχαριστούμε πάρα πολύ.
Ευχαριστώ.
Γεια
σας, bye-bye.
Στο σημείο αυτό να πάμε σε ένα σύντομο διαφημιστικό διάλειμμα και σε λίγο και πάλι μαζί σας στο Pahi Hellenic News.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ανακαλύψτε την αυθεντική ελληνική γεύση σε κάθε μπουκιά στο Manos Bakery Cafe. Ο φούρνος μας είναι πάντα ζεστός και έτοιμος να σας προσφέρει τις πιο λαχταριστές και νόστιμες επιλογές. Από μπουγάτσα, τυρόπιτα, σπανακόπιτα, κουλουράκια, καφέδες, μέχρι γύρω, σαλάτες, σάντουιτς και ελληνικά προϊόντα. Όλα φτιαγμένα στο εργαστήριό μας με μεράκι, από αγνά και φρέσκα υλικά. Manos Bakery Cafe at 1971 Drew Street in Clearwater. Καθημερινά ανοιχτά από τις 8 το πρωί μέχρι 7 το απόγευμα. Κυριακή κλειστά. Τηλέφωνο 727-614-9748. Manos Bakery Cafe. Παράδοση τριών γενεών. Αυθεντικό, παραδοσιακό, ελληνικό.
For your watch batteries, jewelry, clock, and watch repairs, Timekeeper at Countryside Mall Clearwater and Times Square at West Shore Plaza, Tampa. If you have old, broken jewelry you don't use, our master jeweler from Peru, who is with us 23 years, will make a cross or ring that you desire. You have grandfather or antique clock not working? Give us a call. timekeeper at Countryside Mall Clearwater phone
727-797-4411. That's 727-797-4411.
And Times Square at West Shore Plaza, Tampa, established 1981.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Είμαι καλά. Πιστεύω με ακούτε.
Ναι, ναι, θα ακούμε. Θα ακούμε. Είχαμε τη μουσική υπόκρουση, αλλά τώρα σταμάτησε. Εντάξει.
Τι κάνετε, αγαπημένη πολυμήχανη Άρια.
Εδώ στις επάλξεις, όπως και εσύ. 14 Αυγούστου και είμαστε στις επάλξεις. Ξεκίνησε και η σχολική χρονιά.
Ξεκίνησε η σχολική χρονιά για εσάς στη Φλόριντα. Για εμάς στη Βόρεια Καρολίνα ξεκινάει τη Δευτέρα, 19 του μήνα.
Α, μία εβδομάδα καθυστέρηση.
Είμαστε λίγο πιο κοντά στα ελληνικά δεδομένα.
Πάλι καλά. Και πολύ νωρίς πάλι, αλλά τέλος πάντων, ακόμη.
Λοιπόν, μ' άρεσε, Άρη, αυτό που έγραψες. Η δασκάλα που διδάσκει Ελλάδα στις Ηνωμένες Πολιτείες Αμερικής.
Είναι αλήθεια.
Θέλω να σου πω, κοίταξε, είμαι 8 χρόνια στην Αμερική και ήθελα αυτό πραγματικά να σου το πω, ότι πόσους ανθρώπους γνώρισα που ήρθαν από την Ελλάδα, είτε ήρθαν από την Ελλάδα να διδάξουν Ελλάδα στις Ηνωμένες Πολιτείες Αμερικής. Πόσους γνώρισα άξιους ανθρώπους που ήρθανε, δίδαξαν, έφυγαν πίσω στην Ελλάδα. Άλλοι ήρθαν, δίδαξαν, έμειναν, συνεχίσουν να διδάσκουν σαν εμένα. Και μιλάω για προσωπικό αξιέπαινο. Δηλαδή αφήνουν πραγματικά οι άνθρωποι την ψυχή τους εδώ. Γιατί έρχονται από την Ελλάδα, όταν έρχεσαι από την Ελλάδα και σου λείπει τόσο πολύ αυτό το κομμάτι, το δίνεις εδώ, στους μαθητές. Έλληνες μαθητές, Αμερικάνους μαθητές. Και έτσι με άγγιξε αυτό που έγραψες, αλλά να ξέρεις ότι είμαστε πολλοί.
Ναι, αλλά να πούμε ότι εσύ κάνεις και κάτι πρωτοποριακό, έτσι, με τα μαθήματα στο YouTube. Είχες κάνει μια σειρά βίντεο.
Είχα κάνει μια σειρά, θα συνεχίσω να κάνω. Έχω αρκετό υλικό. Έχω πάρει έτσι μια όθηση εδώ, δεν ξέρω, όταν κάνεις αλλαγές, υποβόσκει μια δύναμη και εγώ τώρα την έχω αυτή τη δύναμη, οπότε πάμε για περισσότερα.
Πολύ ωραία. Τι το ιδιαίτερο έχει αυτά η σειρά των βίντεο, να πούμε. Γιατί έχεις γράψει και βιβλίο, έτσι, και είναι και στο Amazon.
Έχω γράψει και βιβλίο και συνεχίζω τώρα με το δεύτερο τεύχος. Θα το έχω σύντομα έτοιμο. Τα βιβλία μου, έτσι, κοίταξε να δεις. Είναι αυτό που λέω στα παιδιά. Ότι αν καταλάβουν την δομή της ελληνικής γλώσσας, είναι πολύ εύκολο να τη μάθουν. Η ελληνική γλώσσα είναι σαν τα μαθηματικά. Και θυμάμαι έτσι και από την καθηγήτριά μου που μου έλεγε πάντα ότι «Γιάννα, το συντακτικό είναι τα μαθηματικά της ελληνικής γλώσσας». Έτσι, στα αρχαία ελληνικά κιόλας όταν το μαθαίναμε.
Λοιπόν, πολύ σοφό αυτό. Και έχει, δεν το σκέφτηκα ποτέ.
Και έχει κλειδώσει αυτό στο μυαλό μου. Και έχω βρει αυτή τη μέθοδο που πραγματικά λειτουργεί πολύ στα τμήματα αρχαρίων. Αριθμημένες οι σύλλαβές μας, δηλαδή τα φωνήεντα, τα σύμφωνα, αριθμημένες οι σύλλαβές μας και τα παιδιά βρίσκουν και δημιουργούν τις λέξεις μέσα από αυτούς τους αριθμούς. Εσύ τους δίνεις τους αριθμούς και βρίσκουν μόνο τους τις σύλλαβές και σου φτιάχνουν τη λέξη. Και τους λέω ότι τα ελληνικά είναι πραγματικά γλώσσα που είναι βασισμένη πάνω στο σύμφωνο φωνήεν. Έχει μια συγκεκριμένη δομή. Και Αν το έχεις παρατηρήσει, ας πούμε, οι βόρειοι λαοί χρησιμοποιούν πολύ τα σύμφωνα στη γλώσσα τους. Οι νότιοι λαοί χρησιμοποιούν πολύ τα φωνήεντα. Εμείς, λοιπόν, είμαστε η ισορροπία. Και ξέρεις, σαν μάθημα...
Μέσος όρος.
Ναι, ναι, σαν μάθημα...
Ο μέτρο, που λέει και ο Αριστοτέλης. Ναι. Το χρυσό μέτρο.
Τέλος πάντων, τώρα δουλεύω στο δεύτερο τεύχος, όπου φεύγει από τις λέξεις, από το βασικό λεξιλόγιο και πηγαίνει στις προτάσεις, mm-hmm. όπου πάλι δημιουργούμε την πρόταση με μία μέθοδο, ξεκινώντας από το άρθρο, μετά άρθρο ουσιαστικό, μετά άρθρο ουσιαστικό ρήμα, μετά άρθρο ουσιαστικό ρήμα, αντικείμενο. Καταλαβαίνεις ότι είναι η δομή της γλώσσας μας τέτοια. Έτσι σιγά σιγά χτίζω και μια σχέση με τα παιδιά, καταλαβαίνεις.
Ιδιαίτερη σχέση, ναι. Πόσο δύσκολο είναι όμως για ένα Αμερικανάκι, έτσι, να μάθει την ελληνική γλώσσα. Δηλαδή, να μάθει να ορισμένες λέξεις ξεχωρίζει ή να καταλαβαίνει, το έχω δει, αλλά να μιλάει, συνήθως αργή ομιλία.
Πάντα η ομιλία είναι το πιο δύσκολο κομμάτι όταν μαθαίνεις μια ξένη γλώσσα. Πάντα είναι το πιο δύσκολο. Δηλαδή και από τη δική μας εμπειρία που μαθαίναμε τα αγγλικά στην Ελλάδα και ερχόμενοι και στην Αμερική που πίστευα ότι ξέρω αγγλικά, αλλά κατάλαβα ότι δεν γνωρίζω.
Γιατί πρέπει να είσαι στη χώρα για να μάθεις, για να δεις, να μάθεις να μιλάς τη γλώσσα καλά. Αυτό έχω καταλάβει.
Ακριβώς. Δυσκολευόμουν στην ομιλία. Οπότε συνειδητοποίησα γρήγορα ότι είναι το πιο δύσκολο κομμάτι για τα παιδιά και έχει πολύ μεγάλη σημασία η εξάσκηση, όχι όμως μόνο τα 3/4, τη μία ώρα, τις 2 ώρες που θα είσαι στο σχολείο, είναι λίγο. Θέλει και άλλο για να εξασκήσεις την ομιλία. Δεν είναι εύκολο για τα παιδιά να μάθουν τα ελληνικά. Γι' αυτό προσπαθούμε πρώτα να τα κάνουμε να τα αγαπήσουν μέσα από την κουλτούρα, μέσα από τους χορούς, μέσα από τα τραγούδια, τα οποία τα τραγούδια τα λατρεύουν. Και ναι. Τους χορούς, άμα δεις Άρια, καταφέραμε πέρσι δύο δασκάλες, να μάθουμε γύρω στα 150 παιδιά να χορεύουν, πρόσεξε, χορούς, πεντοζάλι, κότσαρι, χασάπικο, δηλαδή κριτικό. Πιάσανε δηλαδή από Πόντο μέχρι Κρήτη. Και όμως τα μάθανε. Και αυτά τα έχουμε σε ντοκουμέντα, φυσικά τα έχουμε σε βίντεο. Και το πώς λαχταρούσαν να τα μάθουν. Λοιπόν, μέσα από το χορό αποκτήσανε και καινούριο λεξιλόγιο, γιατί τους μιλούσαμε ελληνικά, ξέρεις. Δηλαδή, απλή τρόπη, αλλά... Πόσο να είναι πρέπει τον Αμερικάνο, τον μαθητή, να τον κάνεις να θέλει. Για τον μαθητή, τον Αμερικάνο, η ελληνική γλώσσα είναι κάτι... είναι...
Εξωτικό. Είναι εξωτικό.
Ναι, είναι. Πραγματικά. Πραγματικά. Πραγματικά.
Βλέπω και τα παιδιά μου, γιατί τα ακούσματά τους είναι αγγλικά. Εγώ τους μιλάω ελληνικά από τότε που γεννήθηκαν, αλλά ο πατέρας μου μιλάει αγγλικά. Στο σχολείο αγγλικά. Καταλαβαίνουν, αλλά δεν μιλάνε. Και έχουμε αυτό το πρόβλημα.
Είναι το βασικό πρόβλημα αυτό. Δεν είσαι η μόνη οικογένεια. Αλλά σιγά σιγά, βήμα βήμα.
Δεν ξέρω πώς υπομονή 6 χρόνια και ακόμα πάμε, αλλά...
Βήμα βήμα.
Ελπίζουμε, ευελπιστώ πάντα. Οπότε η ελπίδα πεθαίνει πάντα τελευταία. Να πάμε τώρα στην Ακαδημία του Πλάτωνα. Εσύ να πούμε ότι ήσουν και στην Αθηναϊκή Ακαδημία. Έχεις διδάξει λοιπόν και στην Ακαδημία του Πλάτωνα και στην Ακαδημία του Σοκράτη τώρα.
Έτσι. Έχω εμπειρία έτσι από τα 3 σχολεία, Charter Schools και τα 3 σχολεία. Πρώτα στην Ακαδημία, στην Αθηναϊκή Ακαδημία, μετά στην Ακαδημία του Πλάτωνα και τώρα στην Ακαδημία του Σοκράτη, η οποία Ακαδημία του Σοκράτη ξεκίνησε το 2005, mm-hmm. με νηπιαγωγείο και πρώτη δημοτικού, μόνο με 67 μαθητές. Και τώρα έχει φτάσει να έχει νηπιαγωγείο, δημοτικό, γυμνάσιο και λύκειο, γύρω στους 1000 μαθητές. Μέσα σε μία, δηλαδή, σχεδόν δεκαετία, γιατί δεν έχει, μπερδεύομαι, σχεδόν 20ετία, έχει κάνει πραγματικά μεγάλα βήματα στη Βόρεια Καρολίνα. Επίσης, το State, η πολιτεία της Βόρειας Καρολίνας, το έχει βραβεύσει ως από τα καλύτερα σχολεία με άξια ανάπτυξη ως προς την εκπαίδευση των μαθητών. Αυτό είναι πάρα πολύ σημαντικό. Δηλαδή, η ίδια η πολιτεία το αναγνωρίζει, της έχει δώσει τιμή Honor of Excellence ως από τα καλύτερα σχολεία της περιοχής. Το σχολείο λειτουργεί σε πολύ όμορφα κτίρια. Κτίρια διαμορφωμένα για την εκπαίδευση ακριβώς, και φέτος έχουν ξεκινήσει να χτίσουν και το λύκειο. Οπότε θα στεγαστούν και τα παιδιά του λυκείου, γιατί μέχρι τώρα ήταν έτσι λίγο πιο στριμωγμένα, οπότε θα έχουμε και τέταρτο κτίριο, το οποίο θα στεγάζει το λύκειο. Τι άλλο να σου πω? Να σου πω ότι διδάσκουμε τα ελληνικά περίπου 2 ώρες την ημέρα και δεν μένει μόνο στην ελληνική γλώσσα, διδάσκει και τα μαθηματικά.
Ναι, θυμάμαι που το είχαμε συνδέσει άλλη φορά. Ναι. Η άλλη γευρά είναι στα ελληνικά.
Ακριβώς. Έτσι. Δηλαδή γίνεται ένας συντονισμός με τον Αμερικάνο τον εκπαιδευτικό, ό,τι διδάσκει εκείνος στα αγγλικά τα μαθηματικά, στη συνέχεια η Ελληνίδα δασκάλα θα τα διδάξει στα ελληνικά. Και είναι πάρα πολύ ωραίο αυτό και εμένα μου άρεσε, ενθουσιάστηκα και εγώ από το.
Πώς λειτουργεί με τα παιδιά αυτό? Λειτουργεί. Ουσιαστικά λειτουργεί καλά.
Και το ωραίο είναι ότι πολλές φορές οι Ελληνίδες δασκάλες δείχνουν τον, όπως θα μάθαμε εμείς στην Ελλάδα, τον ελληνικό τρόπο και το βρίσκουν ακόμα πιο ενδιαφέρον. Λειτουργεί όμως. Λειτουργεί γιατί ήδη έχουν αποκτήσει το λεξιλόγιο από την αγγλική, τη μητρική τους γλώσσα, και όταν μπαίνει η Ελληνίδα και κάνει ακριβώς το ίδιο και βλέπουν το λεξιλόγιο στα ελληνικά, λειτουργεί, καταλαβαίνουμε τι γίνεται. Οι δάσκαλοι προσπαθούμε να μιλάμε όσο το δυνατόν, να μιλάμε μόνο ελληνικά μες στην τάξη. Το επίπεδο των παιδιών στα ελληνικά είναι καλό. Είχαμε πολύ μεγάλη επιτυχία στην ελληνομάθεια φέτος. Περάσαν αρκετά παιδιά το Α1 επίπεδο, το Α2, το Β1, Β2, αλλά είχαμε και Γ1.
Μάλιστα.
Οπότε νομίζω ότι πηγαίνει καλά το σχολείο.
Αυτό είναι πολύ σημαντικό.
Ναι.
Είχαμε πει, επίσης θα μας διαβάζεις κάποια αποσπάσματα από το βιβλίο σου, να πούμε για το βιβλίο σου.
Να το πούμε λίγο αυτό από το βιβλίο. Ήθελα βασικά, θα το εκδώσω περίπου, πιστεύω, σε 15 μέρες να είναι έτοιμο, ολοκληρωμένο. Λέγεται, τώρα αυτό το βιβλίο δεν είναι εκπαιδευτικό, είναι λίγο έτσι στα όλα χρόνια που πέρασα από την Αμερική και από τις εμπειρίες μου εδώ και τις περιπέτειές μου.
Μυθιστόρημα.
Τα εξέφρασα λίγο, είναι ούτε
ημερολόγια.
Τα εξέφρασα λίγο στο χαρτί και θα σου πω πώς ξεκινάει λίγο για να καταλάβεις. Λέω λοιπόν ότι δεν είναι ποίηματα, δεν είναι σκέψεις, δεν είναι λόγια, δεν είναι λέξεις, είναι απλά κρυψώνες πάνω σε χαρτί. Κρυψώνες δικές μου, δικές σου, κρυψώνες που μας ανήκουν και τους ανήκουν. Κρυψώνες σαν εκείνες τις παιδικές που κρύβαμε τα θέλω μας, τα νιώθω μας και φυσικά τα όνειρά μας. Μείνε να σου κάνουν παρέα. Και το ονομάζω ψυχής κρυψώνες.
Πάρα πολύ ωραίος τίτλος. Πραγματικά είναι, αγγίζει κατευθείαν την ψυχή. Κρυψώνες της ψυχής.
Ναι. Κοίταξε να δεις. Επειδή θέλω να σου διαβάσω κάτι σχετικά, επειδή μιλούσαμε και πριν και άκουσα και τον προηγούμενο καλεσμένο σου έτσι πάνω στα θέματα και της Κύπρου, τα οποία είναι θέματα πραγματικά, είναι μεγάλη ιστορική αδικία. Μεγάλη ιστορική αδικία και το ξέρουμε όλοι μας αυτό. Θα σου διαβάσω λίγο έτσι τι είχα γράψει, ότι είναι σαν να έμπαινα λίγο μέσα στο κομμάτι της ενός ανθρώπου που ζούσε εκεί εκείνα τα χρόνια. Και το έχω ονομάσει... λίγο, δώσ' μου ένα λίγο χρόνο, γιατί το είχα εδώ. Και τώρα
έχουμε
λίγο...
μόνο 2 λεπτά.
Γρήγορα το λέω. Μα γιατί τόση σιωπή? Γιατί τόση σιωπή? Έπρεπε να ουρλιάζαμε στα λύκη σε υψώματα, να τρόμαζε το κακό. Κι όμως τόση σιωπή. Έπρεπε να ουρλιάζαμε για το χθες, το σήμερα και το αύριο. Κι όμως μια ησυχία κυριεύει παντού που σε θυμώνει. Ποιοι γη ματώνουν ξανά, ποιες μάνες πνίγονται στους λιγμούς τους, ποιος πόλεμος αρρώνει το σήμερα. Σαν εκείνον τον πόλεμο που έζησα χθες, που ζω σήμερα και που θα ζήσω αύριο. Κι όμως όποιος κι αν είναι αυτός ο πόλεμος, δεν κάνει φασαρία. Είναι ήσυχος, αθόρυβος και δεν ενοχλεί. Νιώθεις να ενοχλεί, μα κανείς δεν ουρλιάζει. Κανείς δεν φωνάζει. Χάθηκαν οι λύκοι, χάθηκαν οι δυνατοί. Και γίναμε πρόβατα, έρμεα ενός αθόρυβου κακού. Πάντα το ήξερα πως εσύ δεν ήθελες σκοπάδια να γονατίζουν σε αυτή τη ζωή. Λύκους ήθελες να τρομάξουν το κακό, να ουρλιάξουν για το χθες, το σήμερα και το αύριο. Μα γιατί το σιωπή θα έπρεπε να ουρλιάζουμε, σου λέω, να τρομάξουμε το κακό. Ένα μικρό απόσπασμα. Αυτό.
Πάρα πολύ ωραίο. Πάρα πολύ ωραίο. Να κλείσουμε με αυτό, είναι το καλύτερο. Δηλαδή, ήταν το καλύτερο κλείσιμο εκπομπής που θα μπορούσαμε να έχουμε. Με ειδοποιούν ότι έχουμε μόνο ένα λεπτό και θα πρέπει να σε χαιρετήσω. Και χαίρομαι που το προλάβαμε. Θέλω να σε ευχαριστήσω πάρα πολύ. Ναι.
Να είστε καλά. Πολλά, εγώ ευχαριστώ.
Καλή συνέχεια και θα τα πούμε την άλλη φορά εκτενέστερα. Στο σημείο αυτό.
Καλή συνέχεια και σε εσένα.
Καλή συνέχεια. Με αυτό έχουμε φτάσει στο τέλος σημερινή μας εκπομπής. Να ευχαριστήσουμε τους ανώνυμους δωρητές για την προσφορά τους, χωρίς την οποία δεν θα γινόταν αυτή η εκπομπή. Ραντεβού την επόμενη Τετάρτη στις 4 με 5 το απόγευμα. Δηλαδή, Γιώτα Αργυλούπη Φραγκέδης. Καλή συνέχεια, καλό βράδυ.
Εγώ δεν είμαι ποιητής, είμαι στη χάκη. Είμαι στη χάκη της στιγμής, πάνω σε τείχο φυλακής και σε παγκάκι. Είμαι στη χάκη της στιγμής, πάνω σε τείχο φυλακής και σε παγκάκι. Τραγουδάνε οι τρελοί και οι αλήτες, καταραμένοι με φίλοι με μια ανεξόριστη ψυχή σαν τους πλανήτες, καταραμένοι με φίλοι με μια ανεξόριστη ψυχή σαν τους πλανήτες. Εγώ δεν είμαι ποιητής, είμαι ο λιγμός του.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ανακαλύψτε την αυθεντική ελληνική γεύση σε κάθε μπουκιά στο Manos Bakery Cafe. Ο φούρνος μας είναι πάντα ζεστός και έτοιμος να σας προσφέρει τις πιο λαχταριστές και νόστιμες επιλογές. Από μπουγάτσα, τυρόπιτα, σπανακόπιτα, κουλουράκια, καφέδες, μέχρι γύρο, σαλάτες, σάντουιτς και ελληνικά προϊόντα. Όλα φτιαγμένα στο εργαστήριό μας με μεράκι, από αγνά και φρέσκα υλικά. Manos Bakery Cafe at 1971 Drew Street in Clearwater. Καθημερινά ανοιχτά από τις 8 το πρωί μέχρι 7 το απόγευμα. Κυριακή κλειστά. Τηλέφωνο 727-614-9748. Manos Bakery Cafe. Παράδοση τριών γενεών. Αυθεντικό, παραδοσιακό, ελληνικό.
For your watch batteries, jewelry, clock, and watch repairs, Timekeeper at Countryside Mall Clearwater and Times Square at West Shore Plaza, Tampa. If you have old, broken jewelry you don't use, our master jeweler from Peru, who is with us 23 years, will make a cross or ring that you desire. You have a grandfather or antique clock not working? Give us a call. Timekeeper at Countryside Mall Clearwater phone
727-797-4411. That's 727-797.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen,
TAM Talk Radio Network.
I'm Monica Ricks. Former President Trump was expected to tackle his economic agenda today in Asheville, North Carolina, but late into Democrats.